Mark Lawrence will now share our gospel reading with us.
Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor.
Thank you, Mark. So I invite you just to reflect a few minutes on this story. Look at the artwork, if you can, that Shella found and included in your order of service. Just look at it a minute and see what you notice. Think about this. Look back over the story if you want. What stands out to you? Or what do you notice in the picture? Who do you identify with from this story? The parents? Jesus? The teachers? At the stage of my life I'm in right now, I certainly identify with Mary and Joseph. Frantic with worry, looking for Jesus for 3 days. And finally finding him in the temple and saying, "Child, why did you do this to us?" How many of us have ever lost a child? Anybody? I can still remember that day in Kmart, turning around and realizing that 3-year-old Luke was nowhere to be seen. I had Anna, I had another little girl, and there was no Luke. And I'm frantically looking up and down the aisles trying to figure out where he was, and then the voice came over the sound system, "Will Debbie please come to the front?" He didn't know his last name or my last name, but at least he knew my name was Debbie, and they used that to call me to the front. I imagine many of us have stories and memories that come up of losing a child or of being lost and wondering what we should do. But of course, in this story, Jesus wasn't lost. He knew exactly where he was. But maybe you do identify or can with Jesus. He was 12. He was at that age. Remember, 12? 12-year-olds can be a bit full of themselves. You know, they're big enough and old enough to kind of think they know what's going on. They've gotten big enough that they have a certain amount of freedom, right? Mom and dad don't hold them by the hand anymore. They don't have to stay right beside. They're allowed to run off with the other kids. They didn't think they needed to watch him. They could assume that he was with the group that had been in Jerusalem and was now starting on their way home. And it wasn't till the end of the day that they thought, "Okay, where's Jesus? Time to get some supper, time to settle down in our tent." And there was no Jesus to be found. And nobody, it turned out, had seen him all day. So they had to go back looking for him. But it seems that Jesus at 12 was young enough that he was totally oblivious to his parents' side of this, to their worries. He had no idea what he had done to them, no thoughts about their being upset. That's some of what I see in this picture. Jesus kind of going, "Yeah, like, what's the problem? Why are you so upset?" He was obviously fascinated with the temple, drawn to this central place of worship and spiritual life for the entire Jewish community, and he had gone back to the temple to explore it more, to seek out and listen to the wisest and most respected of Jewish teachers, the rabbis, who sat in the temple and taught people. In his tradition, the way rabbis taught was through question and answer. And so apparently Jesus jumped right in, giving his own answers, raising his own questions. And the people who observed him, the story says, were amazed. His parents, when they finally found him, Luke says, were astonished. I think they were also angry. Can't you hear it in Mary's question? Why have you done this to us? But of course, Jesus wasn't thinking about doing anything to them. He wasn't thinking about them at all. He was focused on the God he already knew and wanted to know so much more about. The question Jesus says to them is, why were you searching? Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house? I wonder how that question landed with Joseph. A number of us are adoptive parents. We know a little bit about what it can be like to have the child say to you, you're not my real mother or my real father. I got that several times from my kids. But for Jesus, maybe it wasn't so much saying to Joseph, you're not my real, as he's saying, he's already claiming, as I said to Keegan, God as his father, his Abba. The word little children would use for daddy. Not a word used for God in the Old Testament, but Jesus already at 12 had that sense of that close, intimate communion with God. I wonder at this point how much he knew about the stories Luke has just told us about his conception and his birth. Had Mary and Joseph told him those stories, or were they trying to protect him and let him just be a kid for a while? Vampire mystery writer Anne Rice has written a beautiful trilogy called Christ the Lord, where she tries to imagine Jesus' childhood and young adulthood before his ministry. In the first book, Out of Egypt, when she writes about him as a boy, she imagines that Mary and Joseph had not told him the stories of his birth. They hadn't told him about the angels and the shepherds or the wise men. And they certainly hadn't told him about the slaughter of the other children of Bethlehem. They did not want him to feel the weight of his special identity. They wanted him just to be allowed to be a child, to protect him. Anne Rice imagines that age 12, this trip to Jerusalem, may have been when Jesus finally got the full story. He got the truth. We can't know. But we can know from this story that at 12, Jesus was a precocious, spiritually sensitive, bright, intuitive child. And yet he was still a child. We can tell that he already knew God deeply and claimed God as his Abba. But he also went back home to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph and was obedient to them. That is to say, he knew he still needed to be a child. He still needed parents. And Luke makes sure to tell us that he still needed to do some growing up, to mature much more in wisdom and in years before he was ready for the work God had for him. I think Luke wants us to see Jesus as the child he was, deeply connected to God and still a child who had things to learn and growing up to do. Jesus as very human and yet still connected to the divine. Because the divine, the holy God, is there at the heart of our humanness, there for us all to know when we stop trying to be more than God made us to be, or different than God made us to be. I think this story invites us to also see and value the spiritual wisdom and light of God that is in all children, to see every child, not just Jesus, as fully aware spiritual persons. Children know a lot. They sense a lot. They're aware of their connection to God and to the spiritual world. If they're treated with respect and their feelings and perceptions are valued. They have so much to share with us. Remember, Jesus said, unless you become as a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Sadly, children's insights are often minimized or explained away, and children are trained not to see and know what they think they see and know. They're trained to see and know what older people say is true, not what their own hearts may be showing them. So I wonder, and I invite you to share when we have adult ed time, what you may remember of your awarenesses of God, of the spiritual world when you were a child, or about things children may have said to you or shared with you, of times that you understood God's reality and the ways that God speaks to children as much as any adults. This story reminds us that as a faith community, we can play a powerful role in nurturing children's spirits. Like the Old Testament story of Eli with Samuel, when Eli finally realized God is speaking to the boy Samuel and says, well, go back and say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. Sometimes our role is to help children know how to respond to what they're sensing. Or like these teachers in the temple, sometimes our job is to engage with their questions. Let them ask the wild, crazy, whatever kind of questions they may have, and listen also to their answers. See what they may be aware of that we want to learn. I think we do this with our children here in this church in important ways, but I do find myself right now feeling a particular concern for children and young people. These are really, really difficult times for our young people. I heard a story on the radio this morning about schools and what's happening in schools around COVID and all the uncertainty and the closings and the openings and the stress on parents and teacher and staff and administrators and on children. They say anxiety and depression and acts of acting out is going through the roof in many schools. Kids, youth need our support so much right now. And I find myself thinking, what can we do to do more to take care of the children and young people we know? So I put it out as a challenge to you. How can we reach out to the kids that are part of our church, the young people, the young adults? How can we reach out to the children we may be connected to? I know many of you are grandparents, aunts, uncles, but how can we do a little extra to show them our love and support and to try to support parents and teachers and staff? We have a number of you who are on the front lines of this. This story shows us, reminds us that every single child is important as a unique son and daughter of God who needs love, who needs care, who needs support, who needs to flourish so that their unique experience and understanding of God can, the call God, the ways God wants to use them can come to fruition. And I think this story also reminds us that there's a child in each of us that needs to be nurtured, no matter how old we are. The side of us, the part of us that can be open, curious, wondering, playful. We don't have to think we've outgrown all that. In fact, I think we're called to encourage that in ourselves and in each other. We are all God's children. There is a child in each of us that Jesus says we need to be living out of to really know the fullness of our relationship with God. And I think to grow in wisdom, as Jesus did, we have to be in touch with our child. I thought about some of the most beloved, respected wisdom figures of our world in the recent times, especially thought of Desmond Tutu, who died just in the last week or so, but also people like the Dalai Lama, Thomas Keating, even Cynthia Bourgeau, although she can be quite serious, there's also an impish side of her. There is something in some of the wisest, most spiritually mature people that is childlike. open, joyful, playful. A book that's on my list to read next is the Book of Joy. Some of you, any of you already read it? I understand it's okay, I'm seeing a thumbs up. It's about a meeting of the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu. And one of the pictures I've seen connected to that is of the two of them just laughing and hugging. Having fun together. I've heard a hilarious story Richard Rohr shares about getting to be on the stage with the Dalai Lama, and he was so, wow, this is so amazing. I'm getting to speak at the same event with the Dalai Lama, and the Dalai Lama walks onto stage and kind of sits down and adjusts himself and lets out a large, am I going to offend anybody? Fart. And just goes, oh, that felt so good. Here we have one of the most spiritually respected, wisest people in the world, at home in his body, playful like a child. Keegan liked that, didn't you? You heard that one. So that's part of what this story calls us to do, too. We don't have to be all serious and grown up all the time. In fact, maybe the best way to survive and thrive in these very difficult, challenging times we're living in is to play more, to laugh more, to make sure we're finding ways to have some fun. As we trust in God's love, as we allow ourselves to know and be loved and known by God like a child, aware of both our weaknesses and our strengths, but being present, open in the moment, we know we can know that God is here with us, all around us, all the time. And we can know that we are all precious, loved sons and daughters, children of God. And we can find the ways to share that love with all the other children, big and small, old and young, in our lives. Let's live as God's children. Amen.